You know, I have to take moments to just give praise to God and thank Him for different things. I want to take a moment right now and just thank God for my wife. Earlier, I walked out of here and I left my microphone on, and I was going to the bathroom. I want to thank her for coming out and catching me before I went to the bathroom with my microphone on. So, yeah, that's probably a good thing for all involved. Thank you, Kent, for blessing the church last week with a wonderful sermon. I had an opportunity to listen to it, and was really blessed by that. I want to draw your attention to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 18. I'm just going to read it from the Message. I read this at a moment last year, and it just has just stuck with me. And I'm hoping that it will reap some benefits and some blessing for us as a body. Again, you need an index card. If you did not receive an index card, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get an index card. You're going to need this later on. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. I need you to memorize that or write a note in your Bible or on a piece of paper to go look up this verse, Proverbs 29:18 from the Message translation. It's a powerful rendering of a verse. Some of you are probably familiar with, you know, King James or the New International Version. King James, and I'll show it later on, says, where there's no vision, the people perish. NIV, I believe it's, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, something to that regard. This is my first time up here this year, so again, I just want to say Happy New Year, I'm excited about what 2017 is going to bring to my life, to my family's life, and to this church, and to this community in Reynoldsburg. You know, just a brief review of 2016. I don't know about your 2016, but 2016 for me was the absolute busiest year of my entire life. There were so many things going on in my life. You know, my wife, she was in grad school. She completed her Master's of Business Administration. She has her MBA. I'm still in grad school, almost finished. You know, I've got a junior in high school who's doing violin and student government and Leo Club, and I've got a seventh grader doing volleyball and orchestra and a ton of different things. And it seems like as soon as you sit down at home, you had to get back up to go drive somebody somewhere else, or you got to travel to go do this, and you've got to do, I mean, it's just been a busy year. Again, just the busiest year on record in my life. But you know, we accomplished some things. There were some challenges. There's some challenges that's carrying over from 2016 to 2017. That's how my 2016. I mean, how was yours? Did you accomplish some things? Did you plan to do some things in 2016? Didn't quite make it, and at the end of the year, you're kind of frustrated, like, man, I really wish I would have done that. I didn't get quite there. You know, you made some goals, and you didn't quite reach those goals, or maybe you knocked 2016 out of the box, man. You're like, you're just walking on air right now, because you're like, man, I did it, and I'm about to do it again, right? And God be praised wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, personally, individually, I mean, everyone in here has to admit, and 2016 was an interesting year. It was an interesting year. You know, I think it will go down as one of the most fascinating years. I know every year, you know, every year we lose, you know, people, you know, celebrities, people who have impacted us in society, media, sports. But it just seems like last year, man, we lost some giants. Muhammad Ali, Arnold Palmer, you know, Nancy Reagan, David Bowie, John Glenn, you know, Prince. Really? You know, Prince is gone, but we have some of these non-music making jokers still alive. Like, really? Like, this has just been a fascinating year of loss. And that's just celebrities, but if I just asked everyone in here, you know, did you lose someone special to you in your family? I would imagine that everyone in here would raise their hand and answer in the affirmative. You know, just a few weeks ago, I lost a friend of mine. His father passed away, and brother Joe Davis. And brother Joe Davis was, when I started going to a Church of Christ in Buffalo, New York, brother Joe Davis was the first voice that I heard when I entered in the church. He was the song leader. And you just always remember those loud voices that cemented in your spiritual psyche. I mean, he was what I thought song leading was, you know, brother Joe Davis. And, you know, he passed away. And all of us probably have, you know, just stories of people who we lost in 2016. But then on the other side, you know, raise our hands, we all are probably connected to someone who did not experience death, but experienced new life, new life in the physical sense. You know, I think all of us, most of us in here, know someone who had new life, right? Baby boy Beckham is coming. Man, I done put him to sleep already. Jeez, I got to work on that, man. Like, I mean, as soon as I got up to speak, I mean, he's like neck breaking. But you know, baby boy Beckham has come into the world and he has impacted us all. He's made us smile and we've cried and we've prayed and we just we're pulling for baby boy Beckham. We all have been impacted with stories of new life and perhaps we've even been impacted with stories of new life in a spiritual sense. You know someone who has had a reconnection with God or a reconnection to the spiritual life and you're just so proud to know that person. No matter what you're feeling about last year's election, you have to admit that it has been just a remarkable presentation of political theater. I mean, Donald Trump is our president. Now I'm not saying that to be flippant or funny. I'm not saying that to make some of you mad or make some of you happy. I mean, Donald Trump is our president. I mean, that's a fascinating development. We're not talking about a career politician. We're talking about someone who's been in the media because of his TV show and some other things. And he's not. I suspect that when Ronald Reagan became president in 1980, there were several people that was like, Ronald Reagan is president? The actor? It's sort of that sort of deal. It's just been a fascinating year when it comes to politics and government. And listen, even though there is someone who are shouting for joy at his selection as president, some are crying out in disgust, I'm hoping that we who call ourselves people of God, call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ, we understand where our citizenship lies, and we understand that, yes, being part of the American way of life is part of the deal, but we have a higher calling. You see, who gets elected doesn't really bother me as much as seeing people of faith on both sides of issues go at each other's throats like they've lost their minds. That is what disgusted me in 2016, not who gets elected and who didn't get elected. It's how we acted. Elections and politics just brings out the worst in us. I'm hoping that 2017 becomes a year of purification, okay? We need to be sprinkled with some sensibility and some common sense, and we need to regain our minds because I think we kind of lost it in 2016. Am I just talking about me? Am I talking about something that's relevant, church? I'm hoping that we can regain some of our sensibilities. But I hope that we in 2017 are people who are committing to come through on the other side as people who want a different way of seeing things, a new way of seeing things. I just hope that we can be better. We can do better. What has 2016 done, or what was it for the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ? You know, if we were to just take an inventory of what happened to us in 2016, you know, how would we categorize it? And you know, I'd say it was a busy year. It was another busy year for Reynoldsburg. Our church has a different look. You know, let's put it out there, man. We've lost some people. We've lost some people that were, you know, just they were Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, and because of some things they no longer attend here. We look different. We're a little bit smaller. You know, our church has invested heavily in the community. That continues to be a growing trend in our church. Our community of care dinner, which we do every fourth Saturday of the month, we're continuing to reach new families, you know, probably on an average of 10 to 15, 20 new families a month that we're reaching through this ministry of just having a dinner and interaction with folks and as a partner with the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, giving out free groceries. We continue to grow and develop our partnership with Slate Ridge Elementary School. Slate Ridge has been gracious enough to allow us as a community of faith to participate in events to help them. And trust me, they are so overwhelmingly grateful for our participation with them. The staff at that school knows that they can call the Reynoldsburg Church when they need something for their students and for their staff. I'll tell you this, that there may be an opportunity for us to have to minister to some staff and perhaps students. You know, little Braxton Long, who we've been praying for, is a young boy that used to attend school there, and they've done fundraisers for him. He received a pretty ominous diagnosis a couple days ago. Doctors are giving him weeks to live. The cancer has returned. And they're just at a place right now where they don't know that they can do anything. I think on Friday it was Braxton Day, and the city of Reynoldsburg all tried to wear blue in honor of this young man. And he's a brave young boy fighting the fight. And even though doctors have given his diagnosis, only God knows. And I would challenge you to be bold enough to pray to God for complete healing for Braxton. But it may be that if something happens with Braxton, we'll be called to minister to some students and staff at the Slate Ridge Elementary School. Our relationship with other communities of faith in the community is growing. Last year, we completed our second vacation Bible school in partnership with the Reynoldsburg United Methodist Church. We did a Parents' Day out in partnership with the church across the street, and our collaborative efforts with other churches, we participated in November in a forum at City Hall talking about race relations, and we're prepping to do some more together. In fact, there may be an opportunity for us to provide a breakfast for the Reynoldsburg Police Department in the near future, together with other communities of faith. It was a busy 2016. On Wednesday nights in the summer, we came together and set up pickleball outside and basketball and water games, and out front we, you know, got the grill out and cooked hot dogs and had the I can never get the name of the sandbar game. What's that game called? What? Cornhole. Man, I can never remember the name of that game, but we just had tables out front and people sitting around tables just talking, and Hannah Brown sitting at a table with kids doing crafts, and man, we saw a community having a respite on Wednesday nights and knowing that they could just come here and just hang out and eat and play, and man, it just seems like we we began to see the value of the spiritual, the sacred space of work or play and rest and connectivity. It was a wonderful 2016, a busy 2016. We saw God in so many places. It doesn't mean that our church doesn't have challenges or some hills to climb. But man, we have soared over some mountains, church, in 2016. God was faithful. You know, I saw generosity in this church in a way that, you know, I speak with a lot of, you know, minister and pastor friends that talk about the struggle of finances at their church, and we have our challenges. I get that. But in spite of the challenge, I have seen generosity from this church that is, when I speak about it to other churches, the people's eyes just, they open like, what? Your church did what? And your generosity has allowed us to continue to be influential in the community. Your generosity, and I try to say this, you know, at least once a year, but hopefully several times a year. Your generosity helps take care of my family, and Justin and Joy's family. We draw salary from here, and if you're not generous, then you know, we have to make other arrangements. We thank you for that. I thank you for taking care of us. And not having to struggle in that area. This church gave, and then it gave, and then it gave some more. There were things in 2016 that caused us to jump for joy with our hands up in the air, giving praise to God. There were things in 2016 that made us bow our heads in disgust and cry out to God, how long? How long do we have to deal with this stuff? My dear birth city of Buffalo, New York, on Christmas or on New Year's Day, 2017, four murders in a span of 3 hours. It is a war zone in my hometown, and Columbus, the city of Columbus, this is murder after murder, just tragedy after tragedy, and it just causes you to say, "How long, God? How long do we have to put up with this?" Chicago. Oh my Lord, I can't, I mean, almost every day there's something else in Chicago. Just reading an article the other day that says kids, before they go to kindergarten, the first thing that they have to learn is how to dodge bullets. Not how to say their ABCs, how to dodge bullets. That's the type of stuff that makes you bow your head and say, how long? And as sure as we are here today, there will be reasons in 2017 that will cause us to jump up in the air with our hands raised saying, hallelujah, praise God. And there will be things that will make us bow our heads and say, Lord, how long? But as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are grounded and rooted in God's grace, in God's purposes, and grounded and rooted in his mission and his will. And whatever happens, church, in 2017, we are committing to come through it on the other side as people refined by God, people who are renewed by God, people who are refreshed by God, and people who might have to be reset by God, and ones that intend to attend to God's revelation. Now hear me. For the next several weeks, we want to spend some time talking about some core values as it pertains to us attending to God's mission. Some might call that vision. We want to see what God sees, and then we want to attend to that. And as such, we want to craft or share some visionary thoughts, some core values of who we are as we go forward in 2017. We want to launch a picture of a vision as we go forward. And we do this by looking backwards and then looking forward. We want to look at what God has done, what God is doing, and we want to capture that to cast a vision for this church on how we will attend to God's mission and what he will be doing in 2017. God's mission doesn't change, church. He wants to transform this world. I have used a threefold designation in talking about God's mission for this world, that God intends to redeem this world, God intends to reconcile this world, and God intends to renew this world. He redeems by saving the souls of men and women. He reconciles by bringing people together, peace and unity and harmony and forgiveness and love, and he renews this earth. This earth he created was pristine, it was perfect, it was beautiful, and it has been destroyed, and we continue to destroy, but through us, perhaps we become the conscience where we begin to re-beautify this creation that God has created. He has chosen us to use us in those purposes. That mission doesn't change, but how a church or a group of people attend to that mission might change. It depends on the group of people, and that's where vision comes in. The vision for the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ might not match the vision for the Reynoldsburg United Methodist Church. The mission for the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ might not match the mission of the United Way or March of Dimes. The mission of the Church of Christ in Reynoldsburg, Ohio might not match the mission of a church in inner city Chicago, because the circumstances are different, the settings are different, the people are different, the makeup of the church is different. Nonetheless, each church, each group, each organization, each nonprofit has to come up with a vision on how they intend to attend to the mission of God. And so that's what I want us to spend some moments on over the next month. I want us to reflect, meditate, and consider deeply the words of the proverbial teaching that I read earlier from the message. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God or what he reveals, they are most blessed. Again, in the King James Version, it's where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In the NIV, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And any attempt to cast a vision must flow from attending to God's revelation. Do you hear that, church? Consequently, the place where we begin our journey in exploring values and commit is our commitment to God and attending to his way. It makes no sense for us to come up with a jazzy, good sounding, functional vision if we have no intention on attending to what God reveals. That means we need to be looking for God. That means we need to be seeing God. That means we need to be hearing God. That means we need to be feeling and experiencing God. And this morning, I want us to consider committing to God and committing to one another. Look, it's a new year, it's a new day, and I believe God is prepared to do something new within this body. I believe that many of us are in need of a new start, a new beginning, a new way, a clean slate. I believe that in terms of relationships, some of us in here need a new start, need a new beginning, and need a new way, a clean slate. Church, let's make a commitment to the Lord and his love. Hear this utterance from the writer of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse number 22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are what, church? They are new. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Church, let's make a commitment to God's love. And his love is new every morning. You don't have to wait to December 31st for a reset. Every morning, God's love can reset you and renew you and refresh you and reframe you. Let's commit to getting connected to God's love. I think one of the reasons why we have such a jaded view of the world and a jaded view of ourselves and jaded views of other people is because we just don't know God's love for us as individuals. The reason why we put ourselves down so much, the reason why we think we can't get things accomplished, the reason why we think that we're no good, is because we've not connected with God's love. Church, let's commit to receiving and feeling and experiencing God's love. Church, let's make a commitment to one another. In this famed passage in Matthew chapter 37 through 40, after Jesus is asked, Jesus, you know, what's the greatest commandments? What's the greatest teachings? Where Jesus could have just said, man, can't rank teachings. They're all equally good. No, Jesus answered. Jesus answered, verse number 37 of chapter 22 in Matthew. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God and love others. Hear this in the letter, 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse number 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. I don't know if we, I've read that passage so many times and that it's just, I've kind of just skipped over this understanding where at the end he says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love, God lives in us. So do you know what that means? If we love and God lives in us, people see God. People will see God when we love. This one thing stood out among all the things. I've learned a lot of things in 2016. I've read a lot of books, stood at the feet of some very wonderful professors and teachers and colleagues, and I've learned so many things. I've learned things from you. I've learned things from my kids. The one thing that has stood out amongst all the things that I have learned last year is that in order for me to love the way that I want to love, I feel like my personal goal in life is to love. Just to love in a way that just transforms revolution. But in order for me to love the way that I want to love, I have to experience God's love first. Now, that might sound trivial to some of you. That might, well, of course, Dion, but let me tell you. There are times, and there were a lot of times in 2016 where I had to stop and I had to rest, and I had to be reminded that God loves me. I spend a lot of time telling everyone else how much God loves them, and they come to me with an issue and say, there's no way that God can love me because I've done this and I've done this, and I beg them to believe that God loves them. And there are a lot of times that I don't even listen to my own message. In order for me to love the way that I've been made to love, I need to know God's love. And so that's become sort of my rule of life. God, help me to know your love so that I can love others. Last week we were in Flint, Michigan, and listened to the sermon. I was really blessed by that sermon, and I don't want to steal his sermon, but I want to share with you what I heard from that sermon, because I think it's applicable to us. And he encouraged the preacher encouraged the church there to make 2017 a year where we focus on firsts. He talked about your life being refreshed and coming to the end of 2017 and saying that, man, I do feel refreshed, and I do feel something, you know, I feel better than I did at the beginning of the year because we paid attention to some firsts. Things like this, the first hour of the day, the first hour of the day. Why don't you commit some point in the first hour of the day, commit some of that time to God. Just when you wake up, just say a quick prayer. If you got a cell phone, set your alarm to something that reminds you to just go read a passage of scripture. I mean, you don't have to go read a whole book. You don't have to go read, you know, some of you who've committed, I'm gonna read the whole Bible in a whole year, and you say, I'm gonna read a book a week. Just read a scripture. There's so many Bible apps that you can set to, you know, notify you, and it'll show up right on your screen, and just first hour of the day. The first day of the week. Make this a year of first, the first day of the week. Church, let's commit to making the first day of the week a priority. Let's commit to making this time of gathering a priority. You know, I've been asking the elders to go and ask members, you know, how much of a priority is the first day of the week for you in terms of connecting to God and connecting to one another? Let's make this year a year where we break attendance records, not because we want to break attendance records, but because we believe that there's some significance in this gathering time on the first day of the week when we come together to give God worship and to give love to God and to give love to one another. I would add to that you would consider adding to your commitment to the first day of the week of committing to also a smaller group of believers, some that meets on the first day of the week and others that meet on other days of the week. The preacher last week encouraged the church to do something on the first day of each month. And in this regard, he talked about finances. Making a commitment to make 2017 a year where we start planning on getting out of debt and getting our financial houses in order. I don't preach a lot on finances, probably because our finances aren't the best. But I'm going to preach more on finances because Christy and I and Caitlin and Kira, we're going to start getting our financial house in order. And want to share maybe some things in that regard. So maybe coming together on the first day of every month and just looking at your budget, just looking at your finances, looking at your giving at church, looking at what you're spending and maybe how much you're overspending. And then thinking about the first of the year, like we're doing now, and just looking at restart, where we look at a clean slate. Church, I'm excited about what we're going to be doing in 2017, and I wanted to invite you to do something with me. This will be a part of what we're going to be doing over the next several weeks, so I need everybody to participate in this. I ask you to take an index card, and what I want you to write on this card is I want you to write at least one word, but no more than three. At least one word, but no more than three. A word, or, you know, a two word or three word phrase, but no more than a three. I don't want a sentence or a paragraph or just a word. A word that in 2017 you want to be focused on. I'll tell you my word. My word is simplify. This is going to be a year for me where I'm simplifying. If you've been in my office, I have books all over the place. by the end of the year, I would like to have half of those books in there. I know, I've got a suitcase of books in my office, I know. You don't have to rub it in, wife Christy, I love you. But this year for me, simplifying that is a spiritual discipline that I'm committing to. At home, I'm simplifying. I like to cook, and I have every pot that has ever come out, every you know, the TV come out with the new, oh, get this pot for three payments of 39. I have all those pots, church. I have them all. I'm simplifying. I'm keeping the ones that I need, and I'm getting rid of the ones that I'ma still make good food, family. I'ma still make good food, but I'm just gonna use less pots. Simplify. I want you to write a word that for you this year is going to be meaningful for you. It may be simplify. It may be repentance. It may be debt free. I don't know what it is, but write at least one word, but no more than three. And then I want you, as you're leaving today, if there's a basket out, just put a couple baskets on the table back there. Just put it, go ahead and put it in the basket, and we will revisit these words. So please, please, please participate in this. As we close, church, I want you to know that one of the things that I'm looking at in terms of being a better minister and being a better teacher and being a better presenter, being a better leader, that one of the things that I'm committing to is helping to steer us to a more well-rounded experience in the body. I think we excel at outreach. You know, but maybe one of the places where we've kind of not done as well is sort of like body life enrichment. And so it's just like being at the gym. I don't know, all you buff people that work out a lot, and you may go to the gym and you see the people there that had like the huge upper body and they're like this, but then their legs look like that. Got to get on the leg machine. Got to do some work on the legs, and it may be that our body in one area is really buff, but man, we've got some really puny legs. This year, man, we want to focus on working on the core, because if you pay attention and focus on the core, it actually feeds to the other body parts. We want to have a well-rounded experience this year, and one of the things that I'm praying about this year is that as a body we have at least two or three events that is just purely body focused, where we seek to just enhance a body life. I think outreach is going fantastic, but outreach will suffer if we don't enhance the body life. Does that make sense, church? Worship has to become a high value for us in terms of participation and the work that we put into it. Our teaching ministries, there has to be more put into that. Our fellowship, our small group ministry, more has to be put into that. This is gonna be a great year for us in 2017. Looking forward to spending life with you, church. Looking forward to loving God and loving others with you, church. If there is something that we can do in starting off this year for you in terms of prayer, man, we want to spend time in prayer for you. If man, this is the moment where, you know, you've been just flirting with this, you know, being a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ. You're like, you know what? This is the moment. I'm ready to confess Christ, profess Christ. I'm ready to change. I'm ready to walk in God's way. I'm ready to do it full bore. No more playing games. I'm ready to be initiated. I'm ready to be a child of God. I'm ready. I want to be baptized. I want to make a declaration of my faith to the world that I am His, He is mine, and I'm ready to be what I need to be in God's mission. Oh man, we would love to do that. We would love to raise that screen up and baptize you. We would love to receive your confession. Let's do it right. If there's anything that we can do for you as the body of Christ, please come as we stand and as we sing.